Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. And welcome back to Divine Intervention. Yet again, we are tasting a duo of wines from the Cape with some familiar voices, I'm sure you'll find once I introduce our guests. Today, we're going to a producer called Bonnie Vale, but before we get into the wines, let's get into our guru, Michael Olivier in Cape Town. Hi, Michael.
John, hi. Lovely to be with you.
Well, lovely to have you several hundred thousand kilometres away from us. But fortunately, technology brings us together. In the Joburg studio, we have first but not least Jeremy Sampson, a brander of great merit and note and fame. Jeremy, hi.
Thank you, John.
We have Corley Morris from Wine Menu, the boutique wine store in the Bluebird Centre, just off Corlett Drive. Well worth a visit, especially when she's pouring the stuff for free, which does happen from time to time. Get on her mailing list. We have Chris Gilmore from ABSA. Chris, hi. Great to chat to you. And last, certainly not least, we have our Cape Wine Master, Debbie van Flymen from Grape Slave and all sorts of other stuff. Debbie is also in the business, not just of tasting the stuff, but of flogging it as well. And if you want a tutored tasting, who better to call her. So, welcome panel, welcome Michael, welcome wines. Tell us what we're drinking. The first is a Sauvignon Blanc 2015 from Bonnie Vale, and it's got a few platters stars on it, Michael.
I think, look, this one of the things that they talk about at Bonnie Vale is that they make unpretentious wines.
And so what are we doing? Because we're all pretentious here.
But I mean, here they've produced a wine that's got I think 4.5 platter stars. I just think that they've been obviously have a huge production of this wine. They've been clever in that they've picked sort of across the ideal ripeness window from that sort of youthful grassiness, fynbos, herbal, right the way through to the tropical fruits at the sort of riper end. Look, this is a great wine for easy drinking. It's medium bodied. It's got all the sort of Sauvignon Blanc flavors that one looks for. You'll find this on your supermarket shelf at a hugely even-handed price. It's crisp, it's fresh, it's fruity. It's just a lovely glass.
I think actually, Michael, it's 3.5 if my maths is right. So you've obviously been starstruck while you were drinking this. I'm enjoying it. I find it maybe slightly on the acidic side, but I often find that with Sauvignon Blanc. It's certainly not unpleasant, and I can see myself glugging this away with the right food accompaniment. Seafood is. Am I heading in the right?
Direction? Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, having got confirmation from our guru, onto our guress, Debbie van Flymen, are you enjoying this?
I have to be honest and say I'm not, but it's not a particular style of wine that appeals to me. I do think it has tremendous commercial appeal. It's crisp, it's fresh, it's very fruity, but I do feel like it's been engineered to be the way that it is in the glass. And I think that there are a lot of people looking for this kind of really light, easy, everyday drinking.
Okay, Corley.
Swallow. Yes, I agree with Debbie. It's a crowd pleaser, and it's probably the kind of thing that majority of people, when they go to a supermarket and they're faced with a wall of wine, no clue what to pick. And if they pick this wine because they want a fresh, crisp Sauvignon Blanc, they've got to go home and not be disappointed. There's nothing wrong with the wine. The wine is fresh and crisp, and that's what you expect from a Sauvignon Blanc. I would like to just point out the fact that I think Bonnie Vale has a lot to offer, and I think there's a lot of hidden gems in Bonnie Vale. And I maybe this is not the thing that you would like me to say, but I would wonder where Bonnie Vale as a co-op is going, because there's quite a few of the individual producers there who might be supplying grapes to Bonnie Vale at the moment, who might start making their own bits of wine. And I'm wondering how that would affect this kind of wine. But I think they've done a good job in bringing it all together, and it's pleasant and easy to go. Yeah.
Don't feel apologetic, Colleen, for giving us your views.
I'm worried about the cooperatives out there. You know, if all the individual producers start making their own little bits, what happens to the co-ops?
Does it matter as long as we can all get lots to drink? Chris Gilmore.
It's a pretty innocuous little wine that leaves me a little bit... Yeah, it's kind of astringent at the edges, and, you know, I'm not really wild about it, to be very honest with you.
Okay. Jeremy Sampson.
Just thinking if the cooperatives aren't something from the past. You know, when you actually look at what's happened to the KWV of the last two decades, when you actually look at some of the other cooperatives, after all, Swartland had a cooperative, and look what's happening there. As we've said in some of our earlier programmes, it's absolutely fantastic what's taken off there. And perhaps the same could happen with Bonnie Vale. I have to say, it's very easy drinking. As you say, John, I find Sauvignon Blanc a bit on the acid side. The fresh grass I always love, but it's easy drinking, and I think I'll stop at that point.
Okay, well, now we know what Jeremy Sampson has in common with cows. He likes fresh grass. Grass, what the hell? It's been a busy day. Okay, well, I think Michael, we'll move swiftly on to the red, which I having had a quick sniff of, I think is more my type of wine. It's certainly pleasing so far. What is it, and is it pleasing you?
Well, this is the Bonnie Vale Barrel Select Shiraz from 2013. I think that they've picked these grapes really nice and ripe. It's produced a massive, full-bodied wine, dark at the core. It's got all the flavors that one would expect and all the aromas that you would expect. There's smoke, there's Italian leather, there's berries, there's cherries. There's lovely spice going on there as well. Soft tannins, so it's eminently drinkable after only 3 years. And of course, there's a sort of a touch of that sort of coffee vanilla from the oak barrels it's been in. I really like this wine. I think it's again what Jeremy calls is it a VQ, a good quaffer.
Very quaffable, yes.
Very quaffable. Okay, yeah, I like this wine. It's big wine, so it can take good, hearty flavoured dishes as well.
Okay, well, Michael, as you know, I have mixed views about Shiraz. Sometimes I can find one I really enjoy. Most of the time I find one I really don't enjoy very much. This actually, to my pleasant surprise, is not too bad. I really like the nose. I don't think it follows through quite on the palate, but certainly for a food wine with something red and almost raw, I would really enjoy it. Jeremy Sampson.
John, why would you put on your label that it's an unpretentious wine? I just don't understand that, you know, because whether something is pretentious to you or to me or whatever is very much a personal choice. And as we know, the panel here has different views. To me, that's almost putting a negative on the label. But then at the top of the label, it's almost heaving with gold foil from all the different awards they're winning, which is quite interesting as well. And then when I see a term like barrel select, well, what exactly is barrel select? You know, is it like a premium something or export quality? You know, so I've got some question marks. But then I get to the wine and it's...
Oh, about bloody time to.
Yeah, it takes a bit of time, doesn't it? You circle it, you sniff. And then you drink, and very drinkable, as Michael's just said, very quaffable.
Debbie?
I'm not sure I agree with you guys on this one. I think there's a bitter note, and it finishes short on my palate, I'm sorry to say. I think there are a lot of bottles that suffer from the bling thing that you've just mentioned, full of stickers. And consumers, unfortunately, are attracted to these bottles without understanding what these stickers mean. Some of these competitions where bottles earn stickers, there are only 50 or 100 wines that are even entered into the competition. So they're hugely misleading. I think for me, this wine is trying way too hard. And I think that the companion wine that we had previously, the Sauvignon Blanc, was one of your very quaffables. And for me, this falls woefully short.
Colleen?
Yeah, I have to agree to a certain extent. You know, I always get a little bit peeved off with Bling sometimes, because when you actually go and look at the stickers that's on the bottle and you go and you Google what that competition is all about, then you realize, well, it's actually not really a competition. It was just somebody's approval sticker. But I think that this, Jeremy was asking about barrel select. What the hell does that mean? It means they selected some barrels.
It's sort of like the shiny star of affirmation that gets put on a bottle.
Yeah, you know, there's a fantastic brand out there who used to, 10, 15 years ago when they came out, they put on their front label how many bottles they made, and it was like less than 1,000 bottles made of this wine. But slowly they changed that little bottle thing to how many barrels they make, or cases, and then barrels. And people have not realized that that little thing on the bottom changed from bottles to barrels. And suddenly it's actually a big production wine. I've no idea how much of this is made. But, this is obviously what they're trying to tell us. This is the best of what they made. I taste the barrels in this wine. This wine is 2013. It needs some time. These barrels are very fresh. The oak is overpowering the wine at the moment. But I think there's potential in this wine. And it's nice to see that there are co-op wines out there that's not completely crap. You know, not everything that comes from a co-op is made in million liters. Some of them are actually made in smaller quantities. And maybe Bonnie Vale is trying to say, this is a few barrels that we picked out to put in a special bottle. And certainly there's a few judges out there that agrees because they gave it the bling.
Well, in future they'll be able to put not completely crap on their labels. I'm sure they'll be a great marketing
product. Well, it's better than saying unpretentious.
Well, on to unpretentious Chris Gilmore. What are you making of this?
Well, it's definitely not NCC, but I would disagree with Jeremy. I would say it's VVQ. It's very, very quaffable. I actually rather like it. I agree with all the comments here, and it could definitely do with another couple of years lying down. It's a little bit rough at the edges, but what the hell? It's a nice quaff.
Michael, do you know the price on this wine?
I don't, unfortunately.
Because I suspect it's going to be a well-priced wine, and your average consumer is going to stand in the supermarket, stare at this bottle, which is 60 or 70 rand maybe a bottle, I don't know, with bling on it, and they're going to go, bloody hell, that's a bargain. Look at all those stickers at 70 bucks. Let's buy it. So I think that this wine is probably a sellout.
So, Michael, don't judge a book by its collar. Don't judge a wine by the number of stickers accompanying its label.
No, judge what's in your glass, please.
But just you can't if you're in a supermarket, Debbie. Sometimes you're just confused, baffled. There are lots of bottles.
Then you visit
me. Try something new or visit Corleen.
Ah, of course. Sorry, Corleen. Okay.
We remove the jargon for you.
Right.
And think of the brand.
Right. Wine menu, is it? Wine menu.
Just down corner, drive to the left.
Okay. And if you're still at the Wanderers, you haven't gone far enough. Well, that's enough meandering. Okay.
There's alcohol in this wine.
That's my weekend job. Okay. Thank you very much indeed to all our tasters. In Cape Town, we had our superstar of the food and wine world, Michael Oliphant. Michael, lovely to have you introducing a couple of wines for us again in the Joburg studio. Debbie van Flymen, Chris Gilmore, Colleen Morris, and Jeremy Sampson. And I always forget to thank him. Malcolm MacDonald, many thanks for all your technical assistance in making these podcasts a reality. Well, a rather strange form of reality, but a reality nonetheless. I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.